Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Podcast. OMG, it's gorgeous out. I think I said that the other day. Here it is again, being gorgeous. I said I think we've got a few more cold days, but I don't think we do. I think it's spring. God damn it. So happy to bring you another second of the week episode, as we promised, cranking the F away and doing our business. On today's episode, Brawl for a Cause live. Now, Matt from Brawl for a Cause came on here just a few short weeks ago, and I put his episode right away because I was excited about the event. Thank you so much, Matt, for getting me into this event with my press credential, which allowed me to bring everyone all this great content about Brawl for a Cause. Isn't it nice how all these things work? Now, I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to go. I brought the equipment. I wasn't sure I could get any interviews. And then it turned out there was a space in the back. It turns out to be visitor locker rooms that the fighters were staged in that allowed me to get some post-fight interviews, and you'll kind of hear how those go. We talk to fighters. We talk about their causes. All of that is listed in the show notes if you happen to miss it while you're listening. So the magic of iTunes now, you don't even need to go to a website show notes. You can just flip in the podcast app and scroll up, and those things are linkable. I'm 90% sure. I think they are. Yes, they are. So you can see everybody, who they are, and who they're fighting for, who they're brawling for. Now, you may hear, little heads up, you may hear me ask the same question a few times, and that is because I want to brawl myself. And I wanted to get the opinion of various brawlers and various trainers about what I should do. And so I covered some of the same ground, but hey man, I'm nervous about this. I mean, I can tell you that the excitement I felt was a 10, and my nervousness was like a 1 on the night of the fight. Like, oh my God, I so badly want to do this. Today, my excitement's like at an 8, and my fear is like at a 7. Right? Like, you know, when that excitement leaves you, that's what commitment is. Committing is doing something even when that feeling of commitment leaves you, right? So here I am. This is my real commitment to you, the podcast audience. Can't now, like, really, like, throwing my hat in the ring. Can't back down. One more thing. Wanted to get Matt on after the event. Had to get his thoughts on it, but he had, you know, probably had a 15, 16 hour day. He didn't want to talk after. We didn't connect in the next few days after. So, sorry, Matt, you and I will talk soon. Maybe when you launch the date of the next one, we can talk about how I'm going to train and how all this fun stuff is going to happen, how this first one meant, highs, lows, lessons learned, et cetera, et cetera. So without further ado, let's bring you from the floor of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the field. And the locker rooms, the bowels of that brand new, I think I've called it a monstrosity, but now I have a different relationship with it because I've been inside. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Brawl for a Cause 2018, away we go. All right, so here's the deal. I'm interviewing you for my podcast, but also because I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
When you said, this is my first, obviously it's my first time. That actually made me feel better because you look pretty good in there.
Uh-huh.
And you said it was almost too easy. So don't want to diss the guy.
But no, I would never say that on the podcast.
we're on the record here now.
Okay.
So. But that's okay. Marshall.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
Good to see you, man.
What time are you fighting?
I'm supposed to be at 8:30.
Oh, so. I will watch that one.
Okay, good.
For sure. What weight are you?
165.
All right, let me interview you, win, lose, or draw, all right?
Sounds good, man.
All right, so yeah, so I'm 185 right now.
Okay.
I could probably drop 10, but you look pretty fit, so I'm like nervous I'm gonna be against some fucking bruiser if I stay this weight. I'm gonna have to drop some.
Well, see, I was kind of nervous because I usually sit about 168.
Right.
And so I lost like 12 pounds for the fight.
On purpose?
In my head, I thought it was a good idea. I was like, if I fight someone lighter, you know, maybe, you know, I didn't want to be.
Well, you know, that's a whole thing in like judo or whatever. Like, do you know who Tim Ferriss is? This is total sidetrack, but.
I don't know who Tim Ferriss is. But.
All right, so Tim Ferriss is like this life hacker guy. He wrote something called the 4-Hour Work Week, and then he later did the 4-Hour Body. So he figured out a way to drop a shitload of weight and then, put on the weight and so check in way in higher and then fight lower. Whatever, what would work the other way? Whatever the fuck it is, he figured that out. And people said you cheated, you cut the system, but now that's what everybody does. Now it's the standard. Anyhow, so when you stepped in there, like how nervous were you like before the first bell?
You know, I was really shocked. I've been more nervous thinking about it, you know, in my car on the way to work, just getting myself amped up, like what is it gonna be like? And I think it helps that I'm pretty comfortable in the stadium. I'm here almost every week.
For what?
So that pump, pass, and kick thing at the end of the field.
Right.
I usually supervise that.
You work for the stadium?
It's like a contractor. So it's like just a little side gig.
But is it through like a marketing company or?
It's through a company called Game On. They're like out of Dallas and they got a contract with the stadium.
Okay, so you've been on this field a lot.
So yeah, I've been on the field
probably. Have you been in this locker room a lot?
I've never been in the locker room. So yeah, that was a new aspect.
Oh, we're in the visitor's locker room right now. Mm-hmm. Why is there Spanish TV on the visitor's locker room?
There was a friend. I don't know what happened.
I'm not sure. I don't think anyone speaks Spanish, so.
It's just what happened?
Yeah, it's relaxing.
So you think being on this field helped you be?
Yeah, because I really wasn't that nervous. I had never seen the guy, met the guy. I really didn't do any research on him. So I met him, you know, like an hour or 2 hours ago. Didn't know what to expect.
So, but that's what I started thinking about. I started thinking when I find out, so I know that the way he picks them is you pick your cause, you raise the money. And then like he says, okay, you get picked. But then when do you know who you're, like when do you know that?
So they did a matchup release basically at Sweetwater.
Oh yeah, that's right, a couple weeks ago.
At a comedy show.
So then you didn't think to like start Facebooking this guy or figure him out or?
Well, my matchup was different. So I was like 165 to 168 when the whole process started. You know, when I signed up and I had been bulking up because I was thinking maybe I get matched up against someone 180, you know, I want to be, you know, able to hang in there. And so then when we got matched up, I actually got matched up against a different guy, not who I fought tonight. And he's like 145. So I was thinking, oh my God, I got to cut so much weight.
Right.
So I started this whole, you know, trying to lose weight thing, which I didn't have any weight to lose. I basically just stopped lifting weights.
Right.
And doing a ton of cardio, and then my matchup got switched, and I thought I was going to be fighting Mike Sant. So he's about 150, and then I got switched again. So over the past couple weeks, it's gotten switched two different times. So I just found out.
So that's actually good news for me, because like I said, I feel like that'll get in my head. That if I'm watching the guy and I see his like Facebook post and he looks like a killer, it's gonna get more in my head. So I'm just not gonna look and not care, and it could change anyway.
And it totally will psych you out, because, you know, I was gonna just go with like, I'm not gonna look him up, I'm not gonna do anything. And my dad asked me earlier today when I was just chilling, I was just trying to relax. He's like, who is this guy? He's like, let's look him up. And I started looking at his pictures, and it looks like he's been boxing for like 2 years. And I was thinking,
this kid you fought tonight?
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh my God, I've only been boxing for like 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I was like, this is not good.
Right. So you got a little bit of blood on your shirt. When you saw his nose getting a little bloody there, or was it his lip?
His nose, yeah.
Is that like, okay, the rage kicks in, now you're going for the kill?
Not so much the blood, because, you know, you can make your nose bleed pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I definitely noticed him starting to be more dazed.
Right.
He really wasn't throwing a whole lot of punches.
Right.
From the beginning, you know, the whole way through, but once he got, you know, more and more dazed, he really wasn't throwing anything. So even though he was shorter, you know, my coach was telling me not to get inside with him, but he just wasn't throwing anything. So I figured why not?
So I know they give you like, you can go to like X3 Sports or whatever and get trained, but like, how about like the corner man? How does that part work out? You got to come with your own?
Yeah, so they have to be USA Boxing certified. And the paperwork for Smiley is who I've kind of been working with at X3. And he wasn't allowed to be like in the ring as my corner man because his paperwork didn't quite go through in time. But you can bring your own corner man. I think that guy brought a couple corner men with him.
But will they bring you? Will Matt give you one if you don't have one?
Yeah. So there's like three or four coaches here that are certified, and yeah, they'll give you one. So I just got whatever one was sent.
So how much money do you raise?
I think I only brought in about $500. I really, really wish my fundraising effort would have gone a little better. I think I wasn't able to tap into Shepherd Center's network because they said they have to be sensitive. It's a traumatic.
No, of course.
Traumatic brain injury center.
Right, and you're
boxing. So, and we're boxing, so they were like, yeah, when I posted
who wants to see me get hit in the face and who will give money, a lot of people said they would. So I think like that's what our friends will pay for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 27.
Okay, you're a relatively young man. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do this again?
I didn't think I would want to, but maybe after it went well, maybe I would.
Right.
I'll be honest with you, I almost did not fight. I sparred with Matt a little over a week ago, and he was the first person who was like really just exposing my weak points.
Right.
And he got me several times in the same spot in the chest, and it's still like my ribs are still really badly bruised.
Right.
So I actually texted him at like 10 o'clock last night. I was like, listen, I don't know what this guy's like. I don't know if this is a bad idea.
And he was like, no way, buddy, come down.
He was like, it's your decision. But he wrote me this really encouraging thing. And he basically said, pain is temporary, but regret is forever.
Yeah, man.
So I'm totally glad that I decided to follow through with it.
Dude,
but I was just worried because until a couple days ago, my last 10 days, I literally have done like zero boxing training.
Right.
All I've been doing is jump roping because my chest has been so sore. I haven't even been able to throw punches.
Right.
So I just figured I could bear through it for 6 minutes and,
all right,
well, not regret not doing it for the rest of my life. So.
What's your buddy, your name?
Clay Heavy Metal Harbison. Yeah. That's my fight name.
Okay.
So I've been in a fight game for 13 years.
Yeah. And what is your specialty?
MMA, mixed martial arts, Muay Thai, boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and brown belt in jiu-jitsu. So carnage, all of the above. Bro.
What did you grow up doing? Did you play sports?
I played soccer.
Yeah?
Until I was like 19. And then...
You didn't wrestle in high school or anything?
No, wrestled a little bit in middle school and then started doing cardio kickboxing at Kennesaw State, Georgia. At age 23.
And so like, that's
started
like,
doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai at like 23, 24.
Isn't that late in life? Don't most
Very
guys
late.
Start?
Like, yeah, and I was just picked up on it quick. I was like a blue belt in 6 months at that time. It's common now, but quick, and then was good at Muay Thai. And they're like, oh, you should try out fighting. I was like, I don't want to fuck my face up. Are you kidding me? And me and my buddy Kale Yarborough was on the Ultimate Fighter with Forrest Griffin as his coach, who's a buddy of ours. Got on there and
Kale, we ended up the NASCAR driver?
Nope, not that one. not that one. That would be cool though. He's got a nice check, that Kale Yarborough, the NASCAR driver.
Right.
ended up, we were good at it and we got hooked. Addicted to the adrenaline and winning, and we were winning. So.
Right.
Chased that dream, got in the Ultimate Fighter. Brock Lesnar was my coach, fought in the UFC, fought in Bellator, fought in Legacy.
You're saying this pretty quickly.
Sorry.
If you're tired of telling the story, I apologize.
No, you're right.
First of all, you got the ear for sure.
Ears are there.
You got the...
I drained them a lot, but they're there.
You're right. You got the fighter ear. So Brock Lesnar was my trainer. That's like...
It was my coach.
Okay.
It was my trainer.
We're gonna be back up a little bit on that.
Go.
So how does that happen?
Ended up trying for the Ultimate Fighter years ago. Didn't make it on the first time. It was me and my buddies.
What year is this?
Yes, I highly recommend that. We did not get that.
When we first tried out, it was like...
Yeah, because this is...
08?
Okay.
07? It was me and Doug Lima, who's an ex-Bellator welterweight champ.
Okay.
Good friend and training partner. Which he's going to get the belt back. He just lost to Rory McDonald on Bellator, which he should have won because he pretty much broke his leg. But that's beside the case. We didn't make it on the show. Ended up continuing fighting and training. Ended up getting, it was weird, it was 2010. My dad had gotten sick and passed away that summer. And my buddy had sent me an email, they're having Ultimate Fighter tryouts again, you should come try out. And I was like, nah, man, I wasn't even feeling it. Went with Diego Lima, Douglas's brother, flew out there, made it on the show. Ended up in the UFC.
How did you do on the show?
Did good. I think I made it to the quarterfinals. I got a dislocated pinky with a bone coming out, so it's kind of hindered my training, but did well, and then I ended up fighting on the finale, got a contract, and fought in the UFC for a little bit.
How long's a little bit?
I had like three fights. I was fighting 170, so guys who fight 170 walk around like 195, and I was walking around like 180. I fight 155 now. I'm a lightweight. I walk around 175, 180, and fight 155. Which I'm a lot better at that.
So
everybody cuts a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight.
Yep. It's all diet and nutrition and
yeah, but that's a shitload of weight.
Yeah. Those guys are fight 170, walk around 195. all day long.
All right, so this is me at 185.
Yes.
Right? And I know that if I train for this, I'm probably going to drop 8 to 10 more, right?
Right. These guys don't have a weigh-in. There's not like a, you don't have to make a weight for this.
Yeah, but he puts you within 8 pounds.
Yeah, that's fine. But that's not how it works for us.
No, of course. It's a whole lot different than the pros. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, he's going to match me up against somebody that... But don't you think that sounds reasonable that, like, if I'm 185, this is my regular, just sort of not working out that hard weight, that I'll probably drop 10?
Right, 100%. If you're staying active and in shape, for sure. Okay. You're going to be shocking your system anyway.
Right.
100%.
So tell me about coaching this guy you were coaching today.
Parker? Yeah. Oh, it was great. I trained his roommate, and he's like, you need to train with Clay, and do you want to do Brawl for a Cause? And got him working on mitts and hands, be getting his butt in shape, and putting him in the gauntlet, doing some sparring with some little advanced amateurs, and getting him used to getting hit.
How long has he been doing it?
He's been doing it for like 6 weeks.
That's
7 weeks. 7 weeks.
Right?
8 weeks, yeah.
And what was he doing right? What was he doing wrong in there that you were coaching him about?
Wasn't throwing straight punches, was getting caught doing a brawl with a guy, like just winging punches that you can really see coming. But
I mean,
but that's an experience at its best.
So right.
It makes it entertaining.
That's kind of like what people come to see.
Instead of throwing straight down the pipe and just really catching him.
So here's the thing. If you're in a boxing match, in a fight, like you've got time to like figure out your opponent and set him
for
up.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. So here's what 3 2-minute rounds. So
kind of rushed.
So you kind of have to start throwing the haymakers pretty quick.
Right. Or I mean, they don't have to be haymakers. I mean, you could if you pivot and put your hips on them right and throw straight down the pipe, you could catch a lot of these guys because they're winging the punches. You know, they're throwing the club punches. That's what I call them, the club punch. You know?
So if you were coaching me, that's what you would say.
Down the middle.
Okay. And then I heard you were saying fake the jab.
Feint. Yeah. So feint, which is fake the jab, because green people or even pros, they'll bite on it. They'll think you're doing something. They'll show you what they're going to do. So if you feint, you know what they're going to do. You can set up for feint, jab, cross right down the middle because you're going to tattoo them with it because they think you're going to punch. So you're just it's a chess match.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
You can feint wherever you want, you know?
Right.
Right side, left side.
Right. And that's the thing is I was saying about the chess masters that you don't have as much time to set up that chess match because it's so short.
I do not. I'm sorry. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you're super green. Everybody in there is super green.
Right. Well,
I mean, there's a lot going on out there. So a lot of people get adrenaline dump, and they're in there. They're super tired because they just went hard for a minute, like this guy. Like, I mean, they're hurting.
Well, that's the thing.
Sucking wind.
Right. Well, that's the thing is I want to. It's like I'm signing up for this, but it's all about who they put you up against. And I'm saying. I'm like, what are they putting me against? A guy
you just
want to
get some stacked. You want somebody who's going to put you through some hell through some shit. That's what I do. You know, get you ready. By the time you get in there, he's like, you know what he said to me, which I knew he would because he got discouraged during couple sparring sessions. These guys are too good. Da, 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 shit. I was like, dude, best you've ever looked. You can shut up. He got in there. What he just said to me out there at the bar, he goes, that was so much easier. He's like, you did that. I was like, yeah, exactly. I put you through
so the training's
shit first.
The training's hard. I mean, so that.
Oh, yes. Even at pro level.
So that
you
want to
put yourself
always,
through the most grueling shit. So,
so what do you? Like, so like, what do you want to do now besides coach people?
Oh, I mean, I'm getting my real estate license right now, and I want to get into commercial real estate. That's what I'm going to do. Got a lot of relationships. Want to leverage them.
Right.
And I'll probably fight a couple more times. I'm 37.
Right. You're an old dog.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I still train with a bunch of guys, spar, grapple, do all that. I can still bring it. Beat up guys half my age, so I'm cool with that. You know, half my, or 20, and they're 23, 27.
Right.
And
so
I'm
let's,
37.
Do you want to, I don't know, do you want to like do like a plug for whatever you got going on?
Play heavy metal harvest and training. Just hit me up if you want to get in shape, if you want to do Brawl for the Cause, like my man here, Parker Lippman.
Right.
And you want to win, I got you.
Hey, I'm Parker. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
And how old are you?
Born and raised. I'm 24 years old.
What town were you born in?
I was born in Atlanta and I grew up in metro Atlanta. Like in the suburbs.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to actually three high schools. Yeah, just to get around, you know? So it's nice meeting new people. It actually worked out for me in the long run, too.
What schools did you go to?
I went to Peachtree Ridge, North Gwinnett, and Lambert.
Okay, I don't know where any of those are.
Yep.
Where's Lambert High School?
Over in like Johns Creek, Swanee area.
Oh, okay. Yep. Way up in the burbs.
Yep. And I went to UNG, almost got into Georgia, then dropped out. Good old college dropout.
It's okay, me too.
Oh man, yeah, it was honestly one of the best decisions I made in my life.
Right, so what are you doing like for a gig these days?
So, for my job?
Yeah.
Oh, so I currently co-own a roofing company.
Okay.
And I help facilitate deals for my dad's company.
Okay.
So I help him find franchisees. So my stepfather's actually the founder of Zaxby's.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And I,
that's why you did the, that's why you did the shout out.
So the reason how I got into this was for the past Brawl for Causes, I've catered every single one of his events.
And it's so funny. I can't wait to talk to him because I talked to him again because I interviewed Matt a while ago, okay? Uh-huh. And the first fight, the kid that won the first fight was the, I don't know what he did, but he worked the first few events. Uh-huh. And now you're saying you've catered the events. It's like that's how everybody ends up doing this thing.
So yeah, I catered him with Zaxby's. I would always help him out, get the donations. And then this past year, we went to this thing called Real Deal Boxing.
Right.
Sponsored by Evander Holyfield.
Right.
His type too.
Right.
And I saw Matt there.
He is the real deal.
He is the real deal.
He's here tonight.
Saw him, yeah, exactly. I went and saw him. But saw Matt there. Matt was telling me, yeah, we got the gig over at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I was like, dude. He's like, dude, would you want to be a part of it? And I was like, let's do it. Completely out of my comfort zone. I tell you, man, like, I have so much respect for boxers after enduring what I went through. Like, right. I worked so hard for this shit. Like, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life. Like, I completely tested my abilities.
What were the nerves like when you stepped in?
Honestly, not bad at all. The reason being, though, is because my trainer would pair me up with just the best guys out there. I didn't spar one green guy. Every single time I sparred, I got beat. I got beat at least every time I would spar, I'd get my face just punched hard by like advanced guys.
Right.
So when I stepped in the ring, I was ready, you know, after getting beat down to me. I've lost every time I've sparred for over the past 9 weeks.
Right. So but you'd never done anything before 9 weeks ago.
Never in my life. Never even put on a pair of gloves. Never even been in a fight. So when I committed to this, I was just, let's go. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, doing something for other people. You know, like, and being able to raise money for a foundation that I truly believe in has been just...
And how did you get connected with those guys?
All through school, I've been put in the special needs classes because I have the worst ADD in the world. So I've always been, always considered as in those, like, type classes, like the slower classes. And just for some reason, I just had a drawing towards those kids because people around them are always looking at them differently, and I guess whenever I'm around them, I look at them as equal. Like, they don't have a disability. Like, there's nothing wrong with them. The biggest thing about them is, like, they have the most pure hearts in the entire world. There's not a single thing wrong with them. All they can give you is just love, joy, and just kindness. They're not corrupt by the outside world. Like, we're the freaking villains. We're the bad people. Their hearts are so pure and so sweet. It's just like, and people just look at them like they're just like, oh, who's that? Like, they're like kind of scared of them. Like, they're the best people ever. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Pretty passionate about it.
Well, and it's great because, like, you said it in the ring. Mm-hmm. You said, like, bring them out in the world. Like, they should be.
Well, that's the thing is like, it's kind of like once they get out of high school, they're just forgotten. They sit at home at their parents' house. They sit on the couch and watch TV all day, every day. Or they're just left. And this organization brings them into society, into the working world, and brings them around people, you know, because they're a member, they're functioning members of society. They're just missing an extra chromosome, yeah.
Right.
So it's like, why not give them an opportunity? And one of my things, I can't really talk about it right now, I'll talk about it off the mic, but I'm coming out with a franchise opportunity that's going to benefit them all.
Okay.
And just know it has something to do with the restaurant industry.
Okay. So, yeah. All right, we'll talk more later.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, man. Great to meet you, brother.
Absolutely.
Great job. Thank you. We'll do a quick social media pick.
Sweet.
So I'm very proud of you, but this was your third one, so you're not a true, like, I thought the whole thing with this thing was that everyone was like it was their first time.
So this is almost everyone.
All right. So when was your first fight?
My first fight was the first Buckhead Brawl, which was same Brawl for a Cause.
Right.
About 2 years ago on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Or actually the night before Thanksgiving, which is when they did it. The first 2 years they did it the night before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because that's the year everyone comes home for the holidays.
Right, right,
you're all
right.
Drinking with your friends.
Right.
Why not go to a boxing match and see some of your hometown buddies beat each other up?
Right.
Yeah. So that was my first time doing it. Had a great experience. Got a TKO. Felt awesome.
Right.
I told Matt right after, sign me up for next year. So
does he only do one a year?
One a year so far. Yeah. That's,
okay. Because like because when I met him and he told me about this one, I was like, I want to sign up for the next one. And he's like, well, you got to wait until afterwards. And I hope I don't have to wait a whole year. I figured it'd be like 6 months later. But
so they do on and off with the Bulldog Brawl as well, which is how it all started.
Oh, in Athens. Right.
That's how the whole thing started.
Right.
But Trent Miller kind of runs that one now.
Oh, okay.
Matt's. I mean, this, the first time doing the Mercedes-Benz, this took considerable planning and effort. This took a year to plan.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was But how much experience did the other guy have?
So he fought in the first Bulldog Brawl. So he's been boxing since then.
Okay.
But he hadn't done any fights since then. So that was like 7 years ago. And I thought he was going to come out there and have a couple rounds and then be gassed. But he proved me wrong, man. He came out swinging the whole time.
Well, it seems that a lot of these guys, they run out of gas pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But both parties run out of gas. And it seems like, so that's when you should pounce. Like he was telling you, your guy wasn't just out of gas. He was standing there with his fist down.
Yeah.
And you were like waiting for him. You should have just gone in.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I'm saying?
I know. It's
just going for the kill.
I've got a tendency to try and wait for them to strike and miss and then hit them back, which works sometimes. But when you see that opportunity, you should definitely pounce on it.
Right.
I was just...
It almost seems like if you're fighting somebody experienced, and I'm asking for myself because I'm going to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
It seems like you could almost like just cover up and let them punch themselves out for 30 seconds and then go for it.
The thing is, there's only three rounds. If you give up a whole round, you've got to win the next two.
Right.
You can't not win the next two.
Right.
So that's it's a strategy people do, and it's got some risks tied to it, as every strategy does. But
right.
I like to train, I think. One of my every year I go in with the I'm gonna outlast a guy. That's my That's my weapon.
Endurance,
stamina.
Okay. And how do you build stamina?
Running and sparring.
Okay.
Because nothing trains you for boxing like boxing.
Right.
You can be running every day. You can be doing other combat. You can be wrestling. You can be doing other like very full body athletic sports. But unless you're boxing, you're not getting ready for boxing.
Where do you do that?
I had a great gym for the past 3 years called Delgado Boxing. Unfortunately, on Christmas, it closed down because the guy who ran had some health issues. So
okay.
I've been kind of bouncing around for the past couple months. X3 promoted the Brawl and let us all train for free there for a month. So I did a lot of work there.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of these guys said they only started training like literally like at the time, like the 9 weeks that you get to raise the money or
right.
whatever.
I'd say... Probably about half the guys, yeah. Only did about,
but you
starting in the new year.
But you train more than that.
I box year round just to stay in shape.
Oh, okay.
It's I'm not getting in the ring year round. I'm going to the gym and doing a class and hitting
the bag. So what's like your day job?
I work for a mechanical consulting company called McKinney's here in Atlanta. So I'm doing construction engineering.
Okay.
Ductwork, plumbing, piping, I'm planning all that and running the crews.
So when you got in there, like how were you feeling like first round?
I was feeling pretty good.
You were the most pumped up, I think, of anybody just going in the ring. Like, I figure everybody would be, but you were kind of like the most sort of loud and checked
out. You saw Herb, my coach. That guy's the funnest type of crazy.
Right. I want to get that guy as a coach, I think.
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend
it. How much are these coaches?
So I gave Herb worked at Delgado, and I just kind of worked with him and did some one-on-one classes. But when they closed down, he said for 10 one-on-one lessons, like $60 a lesson.
Nice.
So I gave him $600, and from like January to the fight, I saw him twice a week.
Nice.
And I mean, that was more than 10, but he was just working with me, and Brian Moot trained with him too, and he's about to get out there and fight in a little bit.
Right, he's the headliner.
Yeah, he's the former radio host here in Atlanta.
Right.
What
time is that fight supposed to go on?
I don't know. It's all out of whack.
Right.
I mean, they set a schedule 15 minutes per fight, but... With the like TKOs and other things, you never know.
So you got in there that first round, and how were you feeling after the first round?
After the first round, I felt really good. Thought I kind of had him. I thought I could keep doing this, keep moving, landing punches. Second round, I came out for a while. I was feeling good. Then all of a sudden, big right hand came out of nowhere.
Right.
Smacked me right in the chin, knocked me flat on my butt.
Right.
And honestly, that's the first time I've been downed. Spars, anything.
That was, were you concerned at that point? Were you like, uh-oh?
I was pissed. I immediately fell down, and I thought that was dumb. Jumped back on my feet. I was kind of glaring at the ref. Just don't you even think about calling it. I got this. Hands are up. I'm ready to fight. Let me go.
He's got to give you standing eight, though, right?
He's got to give the full eight. It's part of the USA Boxing rules for amateur boxing.
Right. So, yeah.
He's got to give the full eight.
Right. So you guys were throwing some haymakers at the end, dude.
Yeah.
If you watch, I did a lot on Instagram. If you watch, well, I mean, they show you the whole fight, though. Do you get, like, a videotape out of it? A videotape.
Every year.
Do you get a clip out of it?
Yeah, the old VHS.
Do you get a VHS out of it?
No way to play it, but we got a tape. No, every year. They've posted the stories on YouTube every year. So I've that's part of my habit before these fights. I go back on YouTube and I watch my old fights. I watched Marshall's fight from the Bulldog Brawl a couple hundred times. which it didn't really help me much because it's been like 6 years since then. So
yeah. Why'd you watch Marshall's fight?
Because I was fighting Marshall. I want to see how he fights.
Oh, I have a friend named Marshall. I'm sorry.
No.
I have a friend named Marshall.
His name Marshall.
I have a friend named Marshall that fought. He fought the super old guy.
Right. Yeah. The Eddie who raised so much money.
Right.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Right.
I just can't believe how much you like.
So what would you tell me? What's your lessons for me? Like, I'm going to do this the first time in whatever the next one is.
So what's going to be your cause?
So I had like a little stint at Ridgeview last year. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Ridgeview is?
The high school?
No, it's like a rehab.
Oh, okay.
But it's also like mental health. So I have like, I'm like bipolar and depression, anxiety.
Okay.
So I want to do something in that vein.
Great.
Mental
something
health.
Something you are tied in is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's always something you want to do. So fundraising wise, get them involved. Talk to them. Have them be involved.
Right.
Training wise, start now. Just you don't even have to like get a trainer or anything like that, but start going to a boxing gym and learning the basic punches, working on the stamina. You cannot start too early.
Right. I actually started a kickboxing class the other day.
That's
and it's
a lot
like
of similar
it's
stuff,
hardcore.
Yeah.
And it's like chick led, but like they're badasses.
Is it Vesta?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vesta's awesome.
You know that, right?
Oh yeah. There's a few of them here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. I'm sorry, but they are good-looking girls.
They are very.
Ball gown dresses. They know.
What did you say? Ball down grits?
Ball gown dresses.
Oh, ball gown dresses. Yes, they look great. I will be. Yeah. They will listen to this, I'm sure.
Oh, damn.
It's okay, dude.
All right.
It's okay. It's okay to give people compliments. You're being respectful.
Yeah. Hope so.
You are.
It's a dangerous time.
After you've been hit in the head a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so. So yeah, so I'll tell you now that for the last 5 years, I've just kind of done a lot of running.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of like, you know what I mean?
Running, you got to put in the road work.
But I've got no, and I've done like a little bit of just body weight exercises, mm-hmm. push-ups and pull-ups and that kind of thing. But I've never really like fought. Like I haven't trained. Like I took my first class at Vesta and was like, oh, this is cool. Because I want to learn to punch.
So I started boxing as I graduated from college and I had a few beer pounds on me that I need to get rid of.
Right.
And I had a friend who was a professional boxer and I asked him like, where would be a good place for me to stop? And he told me that Delgado spot. And I went there a couple times and just love it as a workout. It's so much fun.
Right.
And I started doing that. I lost like 30 pounds. It was great. And then I went to high school with Matt and I heard from a mutual friend that he was doing this and I tracked him down and I was like, haven't seen you since high school, but sign me up, man. This sounds so cool.
Right.
Yeah. So, Vesta's a good spot.
All right.
I would say doing that, that'll get you in good shape. Technique wise, you're going to want to find your own trainer.
Like a boxing trainer.
Yeah. You want to find your boxing coach for the technique.
Right.
Because kickboxing is great and it'll help get you in the right shape.
Right.
But boxing, the footwork, the movement,
right,
the subtle science, as they call it in the gym, it's
right, because that's they call it the sweet science.
The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Right.
There are so many little intricacies and tricks that you can do that can mess with you.
So and so as the saying goes, everyone has a plan to get hit in the face. So for you, are you able to keep anything, like are you lucid in there? Are you hearing your coach? Like how is it once the thing, cause that's what I feel like it starts and everyone's just
You hear your coach between rounds, but while you're in the ring, it is you and him, and the rest of the world kind of just blacks out.
Right.
And it's the two of you, and you're, it's super fast, and it's super long at the same time. Like, at one point, you'll think, how is it the bell not rung?
Oh,
and then you'll hear the bell, and you go, wait, that was like 30 seconds. Like, it's disorienting, and it's so focused, and I love it. It's great, but and it's in my opinion, it's the best test of like willpower and just chutzpah that you can possibly find. that's the only way I can describe it.
All right, well I'm down. Like I interviewed Matt a little while ago and I talked to him and I said, I think this sounds like something I want to do and I know plenty of people will pay to see me get hit in the face so I can raise the dough. That's great. And then now watching this after the first fight, I was like, oh, I'm in. As soon as he announces the date, like I'm in, dude.
Yeah.
So you're gonna come back and do it again?
My family has insisted I retire. My mom, every year that I fight, is in a nervous panic, which at this point I'm a little insulted by. I'm like, I've won these fights.
I know, but that's what moms do. Moms are always going
to
worry.
She went to the open bar pretty hard to help sedate herself.
Moms, I got a wife, and my wife doesn't want me to do it, but she's going to support me to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She wasn't thrilled with the idea, but she's like, honey, if she knows something's important to me, she'll come. Dude, if it's something you want to do, I think you should keep doing it. Moms are always going to... My mom would never come to a football game when I was a kid. Yeah. And I was 10, and she was, like, afraid that...
No. You know. So, yeah. And the only way I got to do it is it's her charity that she's very involved with, the water filters in Kenya. She goes to Kenya twice a year to help distribute them. She's on the board. She's the minister of outreach at our church. She's super involved. So I told her, I'm doing it for your cause. She couldn't really tell me no.
The official's call, Bra for Cause 2018 Celebrity Round, will go to the blue corner, Brian Moot. Brian, congratulations. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. What a fight. What an incredible match. How do you feel?
I feel inspired, man. I'm telling you, Bart's Big Adventure from the Bird Show. I love these human beings with all my heart. And every time I got punched in the face real hard, I just thought of all the kids that go to Disney World every year. And they overcome badder things every single day than a couple punches in the snaz. Thank you. I love all you guys.
Test, test.
We have scissors. Hey, Brian, see, there's scissors in that.
Okay, before Herb sticks this into my...
I got a sharper one.
Oh, right, Jesus. That wasn't what I was thinking.
No, you'll be good. It's really sharp. You won't cut yourself.
I'm
Puerto Rican. Yeah, I'm good with that.
That was an awesome fight.
Puerto Rican. Did you hear that?
I mean, that was... It could have gone either way. I felt like technically I was better, but he's a bear.
He's a four-time Pro Bowler. I didn't even know that until they announced all that.
Oh, you
know,
no, that was a different guy.
No, I was fighting that big country dude at the end.
That was last round.
Yeah, yeah.
Herb.
You can leave it on there for a while.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to survive the fight and then have you cut my arm off.
I got you.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, yeah, Dusty.
Just patience, my friend, patience.
Yeah, for sure. I was trying to say it was Tito's chicks. I went and got the wristband for him. One of them gave me a shot, and she said.
There you go.
All right, you want to? Are you going to let him cut this off first?
If you can, unless you want to watch him while he does it. You seem nervous. Why don't you just look at me? I still about your name, where you're from.
My name's Brian Moots, originally from Seattle. I was on the Bird Show out here on Q100 in Atlanta for the last 2 years.
And what made you want to sign up for this?
Well, I like to do something. I like to challenge myself to do something that scares me. And I can tell by the caked blood inside my nose that boxing's scary for a reason. So I just wanted to raise money for Bert's Big Adventure, which is great because those kids are, we take kids with chronic or terminal illness to Disney World. And then really just challenge myself, man, to step outside my comfort zone. And when you get in the ring for the first time, I mean, you can spar all you want to, but when you have three rounds and people are actually trying to hurt each other, oh Lord.
Well, the old saying is everyone has a plan until you hit in the face, right?
Yeah.
So the first couple good ones that you took, like, were you...
The first couple shots I took, it's funny because I got punched in the face because I was not playing defense very well when he would bull rush me.
Can we go to this in the other room, actually, because they're being loud? Just walk slowly because I'm holding this.
Which sounds sketchy. Just say that.
You know, though, I think the good...
We'll be in the next room.
Give me the knife. It's my hands. I know where the...
Now, you're moving. See, Robert, I did the same thing. See, the thing about... I think the really cool thing is, you know, when you're boxing and you take a huge shot, you know, you'll see some stars a little bit, but you got to keep going.
Well, this is what I've seen everybody do tonight. Because first of all, I want to do this. So half the reason I'm talking to you guys is so that I can figure out what I'm going to do.
Sure.
Is that everybody punches the shit out of each other and then gets super tired.
Yeah.
And while...
It's even tiring, though, block. If someone's bull rushing you like that, it's even tiring.
Right. But
just blocking.
So typically what happens is, though, is that you're both standing there out of breath.
Yeah.
And it's like if one of the other guy would just fucking... That's when you go in for the kill. But nobody has the stamina.
Well, problem... Even like... I knew that from watching everybody. I thought to myself, you know, don't go out there and get too over aggressive and punch yourself out of the first round. But then the thing is that I knew technically based on his jabs and his stance that I was a better technical boxer than he was. But dude was strong. And so, like, that first round, I wasn't going to go hard. And then I landed a couple shots and got greedy. And I started going to try to end it in the first round.
Right.
But he was just really strong. I mean, that guy.
He would, like, turn around, and then you're not supposed to punch the back of the head. But what choice do you have?
Yeah, I got him once in the back of the head, but he did turn in the middle of a hook.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's hard. It's hard to explain. Like, you have your strategy. You know what you need to do. I even knew what I needed to do in there, which is throw more hooks and work the body and throw that right hand. But... You know,
but you've never fought before.
Never fought like that. I mean, I've fought like sparring and, you know,
but you've never been in a real like ring and
appreciate it. It was a fun night.
And how much money did you raise?
I think $2,500, $2,600.
Yeah?
Yeah. And for me, you know, the fundraising part makes it so you can't back out and you feel like a little bit of altruism and philanthropy in doing it. But really, I mean, the biggest fight's with yourself, you know, leading up to it. And I'm fighting last, so I've been here for 4.5 hours.
Right.
You know.
Did you feel extra pressure as the headliner? Yeah. As the semi-celebrity?
Dude, I mean, thank God I won. But I could have gone either way. If I would have lost, I would have been like, totally, that guy rocked me like a good 5 or 6 times.
Right.
Pretty hard.
But when the last bell rung, did you think you had it?
I thought I had the first and the third. I think the second round he came out and he wasn't as tired as I thought he was gonna be.
Right.
And then the third round, I got him towards the end. I just started killing him, and then we both just kind of tapped out with about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, you guys were both like, Matt was screaming like, come on! You guys were both just out of it.
I mean, I caught him really solidly with a couple of shots, and I didn't have the energy to go in. Plus, I felt like at that point, like, I had it, and the only thing I could do at the end of that was ruin it by getting lazy and letting that guy throw one of those big lumberjack hooks.
Right.
Because he could throw, I mean, they weren't technically good punches, but they hurt.
Right. I mean, that's usually what amateur boxing is, right? Just like Haymaker City?
Try. Yeah, I mean, I think ours, technically, I didn't throw a whole lot of those. Yeah, I mean, you look back and you're like, there's so many things I could have done technically that were different and better. But then when you're in there, man, at times it becomes just how you get an advantage and go after it. And then all of a sudden you're on defense. Like, how did I get here?
How long are you back for?
I got to fly back to L.A. tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I flew in just for this.
Nice.
But I'm here a lot doing shows, comedy and stuff like that.
Right. You just left for L.A., right?
I mean, I've been in L.A. since January 9th.
Right.
But here off and on.
Where are you staying?
West Hollywood.
Nice.
Yeah, new show on Intercom on, or 97.1 on Wilshire Boulevard and Doheny or something like that.
What's the show called?
It's called The New Guys with Brian and Edgar. We're trying to like position ourselves against Seacrest, so by us calling us new, like, we insinuate we're cooler and younger.
Right.
And
but old. it's also like, I mean, what's the music?
Top 40. So okay. We're like head to head with Seacrest.
Right.
So we're kind of positioning it like, yeah, we're like the...
Do you know Seacrest?
A little bit. I met him a couple of times.
Right. He's a former Atlanta dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, man.
You want to answer some Atlanta quick questions?
Sure.
And then I'll let you go?
Yeah.
What's your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Oh, man. You know what's funny? I've only been at the Waffle one time.
You were here for Waffle 2 years?
And yeah. And I was so drunk, I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure it had... I like breakfast sandwiches.
All right. Where do you like to eat in Atlanta?
The Elbow Room.
Okay.
On Far Road, that's my jam.
That's your jam?
Yeah.
What's the best concert you saw in Atlanta? What was the venue and who's the artist?
Oh, best concert I saw, man, was Music Midtown last year. And it was, who was it? I can't remember. Music Midtown is great, though. Such a fun night.
Right. Rank these in importance to you, all right? Braves, Hawks, Falcons, United.
Hawks. Braves, they let me throw on the first pitch.
They did?
Yeah.
Dude, in a real game.
Yeah.
Not the G-Braves.
No.
That's
no.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's like a bucket list, like, for
and the
real.
And the Hawks, I just love basketball, and I love Dominique, and I love their team. Kent Bazemore is dope. They've always been so nice to me when I've done stuff with them. Them and the Braves are right there. Then Falcons and United are kind of right in that same.
Yo!
Hey, what up?
Herb Mesa.
And you are?
My brand, my gym is OG Fitness.
Okay.
OG stands for the original gangster. I'm consider myself, I was around before Instagram, before Facebook. I've been doing this for a long time, so.
Where is this out of?
It's my home. I have converted my garage into a, yes.
Have you possibly seen like scissors anywhere?
I have not. I had to cut them off with a knife. Right. I run a studio out of my garage, and then I use Buckhead Fight Club to do all the ring work and all the real fighting stuff.
Okay.
So I do a lot of...
And what town are you in?
I'm in Sandy Springs. I'm here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had two fighters.
Yes, sir.
You got the only guy who's 3-0.
Yes, sir.
He was great.
No, he was phenomenal. He came out there, he boxed, he was making people pay. Like, they would miss, he would hit them.
Now listen, I'm going to fight. So part of these questions are my own selfish needs.
Okay.
So I'm 46 years old.
Yes.
As you can tell, I'm in relatively okay shape.
Right.
But I got to drop at least 10
right.
to get into fighting weight, right?
Oh, yeah. What are you weighing right now?
This is me at 184.
Wow, you need to fight at 165, sir.
165?
Yes.
Hey, let's take my shirt off so you can see how...
The reason I say that is because you don't want to fight someone at a higher weight, because then you're going to get stuck with big dudes.
No, big dudes are like 202.
Yeah, but Frenchie's 175, 185.
Okay, so I could drop 10. You think I could drop 20?
I think you can drop 20.
Are you going to be at my house every day telling me what to eat?
Well, you're going to train. You're going to train.
Because I know I can drop 10. I know I can be back at 170.
10 is easy. It's that last 10 is the one.
That is the last 10. I've already dropped 10. I was at 194.
If you're going to fight, fighting weight and aesthetic weight are two different things. You need to drop down to 165. Day of the fight, after you weigh in, you'll step in that ring. You'll weigh 170.
Okay, got it.
175.
Got it.
So, but you need to step on that scale and weigh in at 165. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I just don't, is that healthy?
Healthy.
Look at this guy.
No, it's not. Can you find my wife out there? Yeah. This is what all fighters do. All fighters do that. They walk in that ring, they do their weigh in.
Even the amateurs.
Amateurs, all of them. They walk in at a weight that's 10 pounds lighter than they are. They weigh in, they go eat, they hydrate, they're up 10 pounds. But they have to be under that weight.
Right.
Because if not, oh God. Hello. Brian's gonna come out and get you right now. I'm in the back doing an interview. Brian's gonna come get you. All right, bye. All the fighters do it. The amateurs, the guys that want to stay at a healthy weight, they're never more than 5 to 7 pounds away from their fight weight. So all they have to do is cut a little water weight.
Right.
And they're at their.
But they also live, they're living this
stuff. They're living their
life. I'm like a regular dad with a job and a wife.
I gotcha. Either you want to do it or you don't want to do it. You want me to give you the right answer? You want me to sugarcoat it and go, yeah, sure, you should fight at 175. Then you get in the ring with some guy that's 6'1 and weighs 100, that weighed in at 175, but shows up at that day weighing 195.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Got it.
And you don't want to fight a big guy. You want to fight the little dudes. Right. You know what I mean? You want to be the dominant force in the ring. No, that's you. All right? You got your blood on that. I'm fucking proud of you, man. Right. When are you leaving?
You leave tomorrow. But I'll be back in a couple weeks.
All right. Hit me up when you come back. We'll go out. We'll come out. We'll come back and we'll go out. We'll go do something fun. All right.
So you grew up where?
I grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Okay.
So I grew up fighting.
Okay.
This is my whole life I fought.
Right. And who were your guys?
What do you mean, my guys?
Like, who did you watch?
Oh, shit. I was a Bruce Lee guy.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Right.
Hearns, Hagler.
Right.
Those are the guys that were on TV. That's when fights were on television.
Right. So we're probably the same age.
I'm 49.
I'm 46. I mean,
right. So.
So Hagler's my guy. I'm from Brockton, Mass.
Right. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my stepdad worked with... Who's his corner man who he knew for 100 years? One of his corner men.
Right.
Anyway.
She can't find her? She said that she's out there in the back hallway, but she's probably in the wrong locker room. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, anyway.
But, I mean, like the last Sugar Ray Hagler fight, like, was the greatest, right?
Yeah. That's one of the, yeah. That's,
right?
Yeah.
And I watched that on HBO or whenever it was.
Right.
And do you know you wanted to be in the fight game?
No. Training fighters is something that came after. I had a real job. I had a real career. I was a director of catering and food and beverage in a hotel. I was out of shape and overweight, but I always did some type of martial art. I quit my job, got a job in a gym, and started training. Got myself into like phenomenal shape. Got back into martial arts, started doing a lot of Muay Thai. Then about 8 years back, I met this guy named Paul Delgado, who was a boxer or had a gym here, and I got into boxing, like really into boxing. And I've that's just what I do. If I'm not doing it, I'm watching it or reading about it.
Right.
That's my life. And then it just happened to be that I come across guys that want to train, and I start training fighters, and I started doing corporate fight nights, and I help with other guys, with amateurs and stuff like that.
So it seems to me, this is what I've talked to a lot of the guys about, that these guys, this basically what happens is they go at each other, they get winded.
Yeah.
Right? And then they both are like total...
Right, because they're not boxing.
Right. That seems to be the time to strike.
Right.
When the other guy is fucking hands down.
I understand that, but when you got two guys that are gassed out because they just sat
there. So how do I train so I'm not gassed out? So my guy puts his hands down, I fucking go in for the kill.
You train 3-minute rounds versus 2-minute rounds. Right. You train to fight 12 rounds, not three.
Right. Your guy said, Robert said, this, my sparring is harder than this.
Yeah. I would have Frenzy spar 12 rounds. Every round, someone new, fresh.
Wow.
I would have him box with people that didn't know anything, and have him box the whole round with his hands down, and only work defense. And he would have to dodge the punches with his hands down. He got popped a couple times. But he picked it up.
Right.
And that's what you saw there today.
Right.
You saw him make the move, and then making them. The key is to make them miss and hit them for their mistake. So if I slip a punch, I'm gonna hit you. If I slip a punch, I'm gonna hit you. If I roll, I'm gonna hit you.
That's the move.
That's the move. So every time you throw your jab at me and I miss and you hit me, I'm gonna rethink throwing that jab.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. So now every time I throw a jab, shit, I get hit to the body. Fuck, that sucks. So now I'm hesitant to throw the jab. So now you're done. So you start working.
Right.
It's a chess, listen, it's chess, not checkers.
Right, and I understand that, right? I understand the sweet science, but in these short rounds, short fight, do you have much time to set up, right? You gotta kinda go
in. It's you know, opportunity, and you've gotta see it. The more ring time you spend, the easier it is for that to translate in the ring. A lot of these guys, they didn't even do real sparring to get into this fight. They didn't even
do. She can come in if she's with you.
Yeah, that's my wife and my daughter.
Hello, wife and daughter. Nice to see you.
We're just
having a little interview, but you're more than welcome to sit down and while we finish up. I can tell.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Please.
A lot of these guys, they got ready for the fight, but they thought mentality, oh, it's a charity event. And Brian knows this. This is not charity. Brian is also one of our coaches. He knows. This is not a charity event. The minute you walk in that ring, charity, charity, that goes out the window.
Right.
The minute you get hit once in the face, there are three or four rounds of sparring they might have done. That wasn't enough. They're not getting enough ring time.
Right.
Some of these guys they got ready 3 weeks out of the fight. Then they started to spar.
Right.
Frenchie's been sparring for 12 weeks.
Right.
So he's comfortable in the ring.
Right.
Then he sees the opportunity. He doesn't have ring rust. He sees it. He's played that scenario over and over. Why do you think like guys like Mayweather and all these greats do and move, and they can box with their hands down? Because they've dodged punches there.
Right.
It's instinctual. You know, these guys they're not training like that. They're not taking that type of time to put the work in. They think this is fun. This is the only sport that you can't fake. Only sport you can't fake. Either you put in the work or you're gonna get your ass kicked by someone else who trains harder than you do. And that's what happened tonight. My guys trained harder than anybody else.
Brian's opponent was throwing some pretty good ones.
Oh yeah, but when you're dealing with guys that weigh 240 pounds.
How much does he weigh?
240.
Wow.
Okay.
And he's carrying a lot.
All right, 240.
What did you want him to fight at?
I would lie to see him down at 200, but that wasn't gonna happen. When you deal with a guy that weighs 240 pounds and the other guy weighed like 220, even if it doesn't hit you good, the mere size of their oathy type hand hitting you, it hurts. It hurts.
What are you dancing to over there? No, so I have a daughter. She's 10.
Oh God!
Right?
Enjoy it.
Going on 30.
Enjoy
as they say.
It. No, 17. Enjoy 17.
Oh, and God I have bless a, you.
Yeah, yeah.
How many kids you guys got? Me too.
Yeah.
All right, we should talk.
Yeah. 19. We'll change numbers. I've got a 19-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
First of all, you have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old.
Oh yeah.
No, an 18-year-old.
Whatever.
No, 18.
So mine are 10, 8, and 4. My daughter's 10. My sons are 8 and 4.
Yeah.
And my son, the 8-year-old, we took him to fight because he was, I thought, kind of a natural. Like, literally, we were just sitting there one day, and I said, you know, and he hit me to go. I said, I think you could, because he's like a spaz, my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we took him, and he loved it. And the coach worked him hard, like, good hard. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to give up. And I was like, no.
Give him a little time.
And we took him back a few times. Then after a month, he says, Daddy, I just don't want to do it. So, but I think he would love it, man. I really think he would. It's so good for, you know, the discipline and everything else.
My son's been in the gym since 3 days old.
Right. Well, he doesn't have a choice if you're the dad.
Yeah, yeah. When he was like 3 weeks old, he would be sitting in the ring with me while I did focus mitts.
Right.
And he'd sit there and watch, falls asleep.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bro.
You contributed so much more than I did.
All right. I appreciate it, man.
So if I'm short on cash, but big on audience, right? Because I got a lot of people who pay attention to me.
We'll figure something
out. Okay.
All right.
Because I would.
The way I do, and I do this with all my people, That's, oh, thanks. Did you spray it down first?
Why did they pass out cups tonight?
This I don't know. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're sharing cups.
That's one thing we got to talk to Matt about. Matt seems to put on a world-class event, right? He got the champ here. He got Evander, right?
Yeah.
But we're all.
Can we turn the mic off on this?
No. This is dude. Matt knows I'm the real deal.
No. In all honesty, it's one of the details that fell through.
Clearly.
Hey, there was a lot of shit going on today.
There were so many moving parts, and when it came down to it,
yeah, moving parts. They're good. It's my wife.
Pun intended, or whatever. And it's one of the things that, you know, the little minute detail that we didn't figure out.
Right.
So, luckily, we just rolled with the punches. We figured it out.
Right.
We had a great support staff and helping us out. So.
Right.
Yeah, everybody jumped in and chipped in.
All right,
everybody.
So where were we?
This is how I work with all my people. And I work with people from all type of financial situations.
Right.
If people are willing to commit to me, I commit to them.
Right.
Depending on your situation. That simple. I got two wins tonight. Two wins.
I want to snag her for a couple minutes, too.
Okay.
What's her first name?
Hey, could you... And it was a blonde, and we were far away, and we just saw blondes.
Nobody knows.
Good.
You, listen...
Do you
have 2 minutes? I could do a quick post-event interview with you.
Sure.
I'm almost done with him. I'll try to keep it quick.
We're almost done.
You'll call me Britt. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Who's Britt?
She was supposed to be the host, and she canceled on that last
Okay.
minute.
All right. So listen. So commit meaning like gonna fucking show up and not bullshit.
Not bullshit. Right. You need to have a little skin in the game.
Right. You okay. Got something in the game.
You gotta have a little skin in the game,
right.
And then we go from there.
I'm Jessica Black. I was Miss United States 2010, 2011, and I was the host for Bra for a Cause 2018.
Wait a minute, you're allowed to be Miss United States 2 years?
Well, I won in 2010, and then you go on through the following
right.
year, so technically.
And what were you, what state were
I
you?
I was Georgia.
From? You were?
I was Georgia, yeah. One of the
right,
few
so let's,
Georgias to, yeah.
To live?
No, they all live because they're doing some amazing causes
on
the community, but. Right.
No, okay, so let's back up a little bit, because there's some, can you explain the difference between the various pageants?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of two major systems. There's Miss America. We had some Miss America girls here tonight. We had Miss Georgia America here tonight.
Okay.
And it's the first original pageant of its kind. It started back, in the like 1920s.
Okay.
And you have Miss USA, which kind of started out as a Donald Trump pageant.
Right.
That's when they came to Miss America and said, you know, you grew up watching Miss America, right, with talent, and Miss America was a hometown sweetheart. And someone around that time frame said, here's a bikini. And Miss America said, oh, no. And from there, that's when Miss USA actually started as a bikini competition first.
Right.
And then along the way, they decided, hey, we got to get, you know, compete on the same level as Miss America.
Right.
And so the women started stepping up their game. And what you'll actually find, which is most surprising,
right.
you have lawyers, doctors, neurosurgeons, people who are out changing the world,
right.
who are actually state competitors in Miss America and Miss USA.
Got it. So I know a woman, she was Miss Vermont USA. Is that the same thing that you did, or you did the other one?
I did both. I did Miss America and Miss USA. So I did both systems, actually. So I started in the Miss America system.
Right.
And then I moved over to the Miss USA system.
And you were Miss USA.
Yes, Miss United States.
Miss yep. United States.
Yep.
And then did you go on to the, is there a world or international?
You go to Vegas. Right. And it's an absolutely amazing experience. And the cool part about tonight, I don't know if you saw, we had five different contestants off in the Miss America system. And the girl that actually competed also in Vegas this past year on national television,
right.
Miss America.
Got it. But I'm saying, did you go on with some international thing? There's
yeah, those... well, ask me about Bra for a Cause. I mean, that's really what I want to talk about.
Listen, lady.
You know, pageants are pageants, right? We're just women who just care so much about the community, and we want to talk about that, right?
I know. And my job is to ask stuff that I think is interesting to me and the
okay.
audience. We'll
okay.
totally get to Bra for a Cause.
Okay.
Anyhow, now you completely threw me off.
Yeah, so Miss America only is Miss America. There's
and then it
no
stops
next
there.
Level, it stops.
Right.
Miss USA obviously goes to Miss Universe, which you've seen Steve Harvey and that whole fun. And then Miss United States goes to Miss World. And we actually had, for the past 2 years, a runner-up at Miss World, so it's pretty amazing. It's
right.
been a long time since we've had.
But see, people, this is the kind of stuff people want to know. Like, how do this work? So now we can talk
I'm
about.
I'm giving you the goods. I'm yeah, giving
and
you
now
the
we can talk about
information.
Now we can talk about tonight. So there was supposed to be somebody else, and then you got called in last minute because you know Matt?
Yeah, so we had a really awesome ESPN anchor that last minute, literally this morning, couldn't make it, had some travel issues, and Matt called me. So I met Matt. I went to the University of Georgia. Okay. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
And Go Dogs. And I met him through a charity event about 3 years ago. And he started Bra for a Cause at UGA.
Right.
A program there. He was an honor student and raised a little bit of money. So he said, Jessica, you do hundreds of nonprofits. You've raised millions of dollars. How can I do this in Atlanta? How can I do this in a big city? So I kind of helped with the board of directors strategically. We did our first event ever in 2015 here in Atlanta at the Intercontinental Hotel. And it's absolutely incredible. When Matt first approached me, and he said, you know, boxing. I mean, I know charity, you know, causes kind of in tie with boxing, but I was kind of a little hesitant.
Right.
But then once you hear that these are not, right, real fighters, these are people off the street every day, you know, Joe's like me and you, hardworking people that have a passion about something that they're willing to say, hey, I've never fought in my life, but I will train and I will work my butt off to get in the ring to fight for a cause that means something to me, and 30 different causes in one night. So I've been doing charity events all over the United States, obviously here in Atlanta, and I had never seen that. I'd never seen 30 nonprofits in one night benefiting, and that to me, that hooked me. And I said, okay, Matt, I'll help you grow this event.
Right.
So we went from the Intercontinental Hotel in 2015 to the hottest venue in the United States. How exciting is that? The hottest, right? Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It's pretty dope.
And I gotta tell you, I knew we would pull it off. But at the end of the night, just the inspiration in the room, the brawlers, having women out there brawling, right? We did cancer, we did diabetes, we did sex trafficking. I don't think there's a lot of charity events out there that covered that much ground and all for people right here in Atlanta. So it's exciting.
And how is it for you, like keeping the energy going for like 3 hours straight?
When you don't know you're gonna host until a couple hours, you know, the day of, I'm off the cuff. But I love it. So I work with Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, which is for kids with brain tumors. And any chance to help any nonprofit, right, makes me excited. That's kind of what I feed off of. So to kind of get in and keep it flowing, I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of time and energy to make this night happen. And without a host that kind of, you know, can be off the cuff and keep the night moving, I think the crowd was just really incredible inside of the stadium. The cool part is, I'm sure you've heard, the stadium is very expensive.
I bet.
There are a lot of hardworking people out there that can't get a normal ticket to the stadium, but they could get a ticket to the event tonight, right?
I mean,
we were on the field at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the same place these athletes.
Right, we're in a locker room.
Right, we're in a locker room, right? So it was cool to look out in the crowd and really see when the brawlers got up, right, the people fighting, the support,
right.
Their family, their friends. I don't know about you, I've been asked, like, Jessica, would you do that? And my answer's always been no, unless, you know, some of my younger kids, like I have a kid, Caroline, who's now, she just had her third brain tumor removed and she's only 3.
Wow.
If her mother came to me and said, Jessica, would you brawl, you know, for Caroline and for Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, I might do it.
Okay. No, I'm totally going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. So you're going to...
So I met with Matt.
Okay.
So I do this show. It's called Atlanta Podcast. I found about Brawl for Cause. I said, I want to have you on the show because it seems like a great event for Atlanta.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him, I said, I'm pretty fired up. I think I want to do it. Like I was 95% in.
Okay.
And then I came tonight. The first fight started. I was like, yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. I was talking to him about training me. So
you felt the energy. And what cause? What cause are you going to?
So I have my own issues with mental illness and that.
Okay.
So like something in that department.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, if I can help you find a cause here in Atlanta.
So do you know like you know what Ridgeview is,
yeah,
right? So
of
they
course.
Right. So they work with addicts and alcoholics, yeah, and
absolutely.
Also mental illness, and so
rehabilitation.
Yeah. So I don't know like what their particular, like if they have a particular foundation or something, but that's what I was thinking of.
There's a couple, and I have contacts at Ridgeview.
Oh.
I'm happy to help.
Look
yeah,
at you.
Yeah. Because it's something that a lot of people don't talk about.
Right.
I love the artist Logic that came out with this amazing song, and that's what he talks about is mental depression and, you know, just anxiety and all these things that society is kind of afraid to talk about.
Right.
And I don't think we've had that at Brawl for a Cause. So that would be a charity that no one's ever brought
for. What's
it called? Logic, right? Am
yeah,
I getting
Logic
that right?
1-800-235.
Yeah.
The actual phone number is for the suicide prevention.
It's so an incredible song. If you Google 1-800-LOGIC, it's an incredible song about kids who, it's actually a kid growing up who's gay in a society where his father tells him it's not okay, and because of that he's suffering from depression. The video is kind of serious, but it really shines a light on. He almost won Song of the Year. It was between him and Bruno Mars, and Hello People, I think they actually got it wrong. Yeah, so he missed a chance to really highlight that song. But we've never had anybody talk about mental illness or depression. That would be really cool. Happy to help if I can connect you with this for you.
I'll get your contact info from Matt or whatever.
Yeah, so what was the one thing that was the most surprising about tonight? Like, what didn't you inspect that you're like, wow, that was
that
awesome?
The guys that I talked to were like, yeah, I started training 12 weeks ago. I was like, what? And like, it wasn't the first fight, but I think it was the second fight. And I said, have you fought before? He's like, no. And I was like, what? Like, because they all seem, like a lot of them seem, I mean, I expected just like these wild, like haymakers, but a lot of these guys, like they looked great. So that was to me and super hopeful for me, because this is going to be my first time fighting. So first of all, I thought I'd have like a year to train.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when you guys do these like once a year. But talking to, I'm forgetting his name in the gym, and I just spoke with.
Okay.
He was like, no, we have a fight in a few months. I'll train you for that. I was like,
yeah. So most of them do a 3-month training program. It's X3 is the name of the gym. And that's the manager of X3, I believe.
No, he's not the X3 guy.
He's not X3? Okay.
X3 is the other guy. It was called Delgado.
Okay.
And now it's something else. Okay. I'm embarrassed that I'm forgetting, but we just met. OG Fitness.
Okay.
How can we forget? It's Cedar Lever's hat.
Well, and incredible, right? Every brawler he had won, right?
Yeah.
And he was out there screaming. Well, are you like going to work with him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how much it costs, but I don't know where he lives compared to where I live. But no, it looks good. So.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I'm excited to see.
So do you live in Atlanta?
I do. I live in Buckhead.
Okay.
And I'm in IT consulting, so that's what I do for a living.
Right.
And then a lot of nonprofit work, whatever I can do to help.
Do you want to take the Atlanta podcast quiz before we leave?
I'm nervous, but sure.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. Never back down to a challenge.
Okay, first question. What's your go-to meal at the Waffle House?
Oh my gosh, so my friends laugh, but then when they try it, they're kind of angry they don't do it too. I'm still trying to eat healthy. So 4 egg whites scrambled with grilled chicken and cheese, wheat toast, and if I've had a really crazy night, I get some hash browns smothered covered in chives.
All right, now if we're going healthy with the egg whites, why don't we leave the toast alone?
Well, you got to get a little carb in there so your friends don't give you too much grief, because you are at the Waffle House. It's the Waffle House. So if I throw in the wheat toast, it's a carb. They don't give me so much grief about it. But on another night, I'm obviously like, hash browns. Let's get hash browns.
And how do you take your hash browns?
So smothered, covered, and chunked. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I'm from South Georgia. So Waffle House is... We've actually left a really nice restaurant before because we couldn't get seated. And we went to Waffle House.
And chunked is ham?
Yes.
Okay. Like to always... Not everybody knows all the lingo.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
So I was a big fan. Very simple chicken sandwich plate.
Okay.
Right? So you get the chicken sandwich and you get the hash browns. Smothered and covered.
See, that's
right?
A little more great than me.
But they have this new thing called the hash brown bowl, which is essentially like a burrito breakfast bowl.
Yeah.
So it's the eggs and the hash browns, and then either sausage or ham, and then of course cheese.
The hash brown bowl. I'm. Mental,
so first of all, you are a very, very experienced interviewee, because you find a way to engage me, which I think is great. But you're clearly a pro.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
I mean, you're going to be brawling for Brawl for a Cause, so why wait until next year? Start getting to know you now, right?
Right. Okay, so second question, because you handled that one fairly well. What is your favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Umi has been the number one rated top restaurant in Atlanta for several years.
Yes.
It's known for its sushi, but I don't even eat the sushi when I go there because there's so many other incredible dishes.
Where is it located?
It's in Buckhead. It's near the St. Regis Hotel.
Okay.
If you come out of the St. Regis Hotel, there's Atlas and then Umi's right there in the corner. And just absolutely incredible, the atmosphere, the service, the food. They have an avocado salad that even if people don't like avocado, it's incredible. They have 2 lobster dishes, a lobster teppanyaki, and a baked lobster.
That sounds like the thing to order.
Oh, it is the thing to order. Well, actually, the thing to order is they make a special dessert, and they only do like maybe 7 a night. And I'm such a foodie, when I go and I make a reservation, they like save me one like in advance so they don't run out. But they spend like 14 days mixing like angel food cake, whipped cream, and berries. And they put it in like a chocolate shell, and they give you a hammer. And you actually get to hit the dessert with a hammer.
No, you're fine.
Crack
We're
it
fine.
Open. And that's the specialty. Is the dessert that they have, but it's absolutely incredible.
All right. Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
Ooh, that's hard. Falcons, first and foremost. I've always been a Falcons fan since I was a little girl.
Right.
Love football, obviously. Georgia and Falcons. I'd do UGA and then Falcons, even though that wasn't a choice. The Braves, second. When I first moved to Atlanta and I knew no one, I was in a big city, I got to be a Braves girl for the Atlanta Braves.
Really?
So I got to be a part, stand on the dugout, meet the players, help Boy Scout groups, kids with cancer. So I'm a huge fan of the Atlanta Braves. They would be second. And then who am I ranking after that? United and Hawks. So United.
Is she your assistant?
And actually.
Can we introduce you, by the way?
Yeah, this is Ariel.
Okay.
Ariel Denny. Ariel is my assistant. She helps me with all my nonprofit events.
Okay.
She trains, didn't you? Yeah. So Atlanta United, they're kind of bumping up there. They might actually be above the Braves.
I'm interviewing your host person.
Nice.
Matt, what do you think?
I thought you left like 3 hours.
I planned on it.
You didn't get enough of the brawl.
Here's what happened.
I love it.
I was very close to leaving.
Next year, he's brawling.
Well, first of all, I'm definitely brawling, but then I'm talking to OG here,
yeah.
And he's like, why don't I train you for a fight in 3 months? I'm like, 3 months? I'm like, I thought I have a year.
Yeah.
We'll see. When are you announcing your next date?
If he does Ridgeview, that's a cause that no one's ever brought for. That's exciting for like mental illness.
How do you feel?
Let's get you against Rise of the Sufferfest.
Keneally? Keneally outweighs
Scott
me by
Keneally, yeah.
Keneally outweighs me by 40 pounds at least.
Making excuses already.
Listen to this guy.
I wasn't gonna call him.
So I'm forgetting his name. Who's the OG guy? The OG gym guy?
Tony Tucci.
No, the trainer. Yeah. He was Bert's coach.
He trained Brian Moot.
Brian Moot, sorry.
Herb.
Yeah. So Herb was telling me that I got to get down to 165 to fight at 175.
It's a different fight. You know, Herb trains fighters.
Right.
We have brawlers. You don't have to cut weight.
Okay, good.
Come as you are.
I want to drop at least 10 good ones, though.
Should I give him the mic? This is good stuff.
And we're going to talk at length.
Before, I'm delirious. I'm
not now. Great saying. Event, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Sweep's done.
Good.
These guys are all getting ready to get out of here.
So you got a last question. What was it? Let's go.
I did. There's two more questions. First of all, are sharks dinosaurs?
Are sharks dinosaurs?
Stop looking at her. She doesn't have the answers.
It's called call a friend, right? Yes.
Okay. What's the best concert you've seen in Atlanta, the artist and the venue?
Oh, the best concert in Atlanta. There's so many good concerts.
Right. What's
in
the
Atlanta.
Best one you've seen and the venue?
Oh, it's a toss up. It's a tie between Jason Aldean at Phillips Arena.
Okay.
There's Fire. It's just absolutely incredible. And Justin Timberlake. Also in Phillips Arena.
Okay.
The only performer that plays like five instruments, dances, sings. He's just incredible.
Well, how was this year's halftime show for you?
I didn't think it was too overly impressive. I thought he did an awesome job. I liked the selfie kid. That was kind of funny. But I really felt
the
like
what?
There could have been a wow. The selfie kid?
Oh, no. Everybody loves the selfie kid.
Yeah. There could have been more of a wow.
What was with the outfit, though?
I've been asking that question, right? He had, like, the fringe.
I kept thinking something was coming. Something is coming. That's going to make this make sense.
Someone said that like the
it was his Man of the Woods album.
It was his cover of his album, his actual album.
That shows you how unhip I am.
Yeah. So, go figure. I don't think half of America knew. Don't worry. You're not the only one.
Nobody knew until after.
Yeah.
What is the story of the selfie kid, by the way? Does anybody know his story?
Do you know the story?
I don't know his story. See,
All right. Well, listen, you did a fantastic job.
God bless you.
Last question.
Okay.
See, what about I end with?
How excited you are for Brawl for a Cause 2019.
No, I'm like, by the way, it is now 12:03 in the morning. I usually am in bed by 10:30, right?
Got it.
So this is super late for me. What's the best festival in Atlanta? How about that? What's your favorite Atlanta festival? And then we'll all go home.
Oh, I don't know if I can answer that. There's so many. I love the Atlanta Wine Festival, the Atlanta Food Festival. There's so many music concerts, Shaky Beats. There's so many festivals in Atlanta. I can't answer that.
All right. Well, I'll let have a pass because you didn't go political in the other ones. Like if you said all the same in the sports teams, I was going to end the interview. I was like, you can't be that political.
You didn't like, get the hook and just pull her
but
out.
But you
like
picked.
She's done.
All right. Let's fist bump.
I did go to bed at 4 a.m. and get up like 3 hours later, and I'm still
jacked
here.
Up. Are you guys going to hit the Waffle House?
Maybe. I was just going to say that's how we should end it. Are you ready for the Waffle House?
Dude, I'm in
the hash brown bowl.
I
took the middle note. I'm ready to check it.
Yeah. Dude, I'm
Let's
going to bed.
It.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
there you have it, folks. There you have it. Brawl for a Cause. Recap, live from Mercedes-Benz. Now, we will bring you a new episode every Tuesday, as promised. So stay tuned for that. If you've been following the Instagram, which you better be, by the way, ATL Podcast on Instagram, you see who I'm talking to. You see who's coming up. I'm putting together little videos. I'm putting together cool little stories. So if you found this thing not through Instagram, or not because I already know you, start following us on the Instagram. We do Facebook too, and that's a good place to share it through other places on Facebook. But to be honest, we're all IG these days. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Gotta run.